What a great pastor's conference, of course. Amen. Those of you who were there, you know what I mean. And it's also a time of renewing old friendships, and there was many people there I got to see. One guy that was there, who's now the music director up in Casa Grande, I haven't seen him, well, in 5.5 years. Last time I saw him was when he came over the house to do worship for my wife before she passed away. Another pastor I was up there with, we sat down and had a cup of coffee. In fact, it was yesterday morning, just before services started. And I asked him how things were going. He said, great. And I said, well, how's that little car you got? Because he had this neat little car. And he says, you know, Jack, I had to get rid of it. I said, why? Was it bad? He says, no. God told me it was becoming an idol. He says, you know, I had the shirt, I had the belt buckle, had the whole works. But the car was becoming an idol. So I just turned it back in. And that is commitment. And that's what I'd like to talk about tonight is perseverance. And how it's the key to commitment. Because we have to ask ourselves, are we preparing for failure? Are we preparing for a fall? And are we prepared for how hard we will hit if we're not prepared? So for this study to have its God-given power in our life, you will have to ask yourself and examine yourself with this question. Where is my commitment level with God? Do I love my Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, and with all of my soul? Do the very depths of your souls call out for your Savior daily, minute by minute? Or must we confess that 5, 10, 60, or even 1,440 minutes a day are spent on, well, you fill in the blanks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening. And Father, we just ask that you be with us. Open our hearts and our minds to have that perseverance, Father. To gain that perseverance and to have the commitment to just take that time with you, to not get too busy that we don't have any time for you, but to just be able to call on you, think about you all day long. There's nothing too hard that we do that we get so busy that we can't take that moment just to think about you and to realize how much you love us. So, Father, we just ask that you be with us tonight. Open our hearts and our minds again to just receive your word. I just praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I'd like to start in Luke. Chapter 14. Jesus was speaking to the multitudes, and he was out with the multitude, and he had turned to them, and he had said this to them, beginning in verse 26 of chapter 14. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and his mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to make war against another king does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he cannot be my disciple. He does not forsake all he has. The example of salt is good, but if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for land nor the dunghill or trash heap, but men throw it out. He who has ears, let him hear. He's not saying we should hate all these things by actual hate. What he's saying is that the love that we had towards anything or anyone should be almost, in comparison to the love we have for him, should be considered almost hatred. Our love for him should be that much stronger. These things are tough to hear, and they certainly are tough things to examine ourselves about. But we must. If we are to receive the rewards of the blessed life that our Creator has called us to, now the question is, how bad do you want it? And what are you going to do to get it? Well, where do we start? Why don't we start in James? Let's go over James chapter 5, and beginning in verse 7. It says, therefore, therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain? You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you be condemned. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. Indeed, we count them blessed who endured. You have heard of the perseverance of Job, and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful. It's hard to hear, but we have to be patient. And of course, if we pray for patience, we know what happens. He answers that prayer, and you become very patient waiting on him for that. But we must endure. Just the same as the farmer does. I mean, the farmer plants his crop today. It's not going to be harvested tomorrow. He has to wait the season. And it's the same with us, with our patience. It takes time. We have to endure. Today, this world is not a very patient world. It's been said that the attention span of the normal person is about 8 minutes. In fact, if you watch TV and all, you'll see there's a commercial every 8 minutes, so that, because your attention span is so low. I mean, we even have computers nowadays, and all I hear is, my computer is too slow. We have microwaves to cook our food fast, yet we'll stand in front of the microwave. Come on, hurry up. Come on, hurry up. We're just not patient. And we've got to learn to have this patience. Yet we must understand that our commitment must endure forever. And how long is that? Forever. Not until things just get tough and then it's all over. Because it will not happen overnight. The type of commitment that's needed is to think this. Set the vision of the clouds parting, Christ returning, and deep within your heart, knowing in your heart that you will be entering His kingdom as a beloved child in whom He is well pleased. You must establish your heart. We have a way to do that, as Paul told us in Romans. Chapter 12. And in verse 2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, how do you prove that? Right there. Study it. We can prove it. And believe me, when you study this, I mean, how many times have you read a verse and just read over it? You know you've read it before, but this next time you read it, I never saw that before. That's God talking to you. That's the way it is. We have to be patient. You have to set your heart and mind on the things of God, not on the things of this world. Set your heart on the fact that someday soon, and a whole lot sooner than when you first believed, Christ is coming for you, and He is going to reward those who have diligently sought after Him. I mean, we go to the faith chapter here in Hebrews 11. In verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. We got to diligently seek Him. We have to love one another without grumbling, as James said when we read there. Because the judge is at the door. But not only is our relationship with God important, but so is the one with each other. We have to stop complaining, stop arguing, stop grumbling. And in most cases, the cause of all the above is that someone, and usually the person who is upset, is not getting their way. We have to stop being selfish. Let's go over to Philippians quick. In chapter 2, verse 3. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Higher than yourself. Consider their needs. It was funny that at the pastor's conference, Pastor Gale, Irwin, yeah, we remember that because he brought a story to mind of way back when the head of the Salvation Army was going to send a telegram. This was back in the 1800s, wasn't it? He was going to send a telegram around the world to all his workers in the field for a Christmas message. And he wrote this message out of what he wanted to send. So he took what money he had and gave it to his assistant to go down to the telegraph office to send the telegram. And the guy comes back. Did you send it? No, I didn't. The message is too long, too many words. We don't have enough money because you have to pay by the word. So he said, well, I'll rewrite the message. How many words do I have to, can I send for that amount of money? He says, one. So what word did he send? Others. And this is a bumper sticker that Gail has. If you notice, I changed mine on the back of my truck. It's now one of these. So we must consider others' needs. We must esteem others higher than ourselves. We got to consider their needs. Remember, the judge is at the door. If you were to place yourself in a courtroom today, everyone is waiting for the judge to come in. And he's in his chambers waiting till everything in the court is ready for him to begin his role as the judge. And when it is, the bailiff goes and tells him, Your Honor, everything's ready. You can come in now. And when he enters, everyone, all, the innocent and the guilty, are asked to rise. Well, let's compare that to what's coming. As Jesus Christ, the judge, and is waiting. Instead of the bailiff coming in and telling him everything is ready for him, the trump will sound when everything is ready. And the trump says everything is order and ready for you. Ready for he who will judge the sins of the world. And then the Creator will require everyone. The innocent, the guilty, the sinners, to bow. For it is written, everyone will bow the knee. And we must remember that we are not the judge. Christ is. So love one another. Consider this. When God looked down on the earth and saw us, men and women and mankind, and saw the mess we made of everything, did he grumble? No, he loved us. Well, how did he love us? What did he give us? He gave us his only begotten Son, that he might die for us. And no greater love is that. So is there a statement of commitment you would have? I mean, in Job chapter 13, verse 15, don't need to go there unless you want to. Job says, even though you slay me, I will trust and I will serve you. This is an unselfish commitment. And it does not hinge on what he's going through. And where he's saying that, he's already in the midst of his sufferings from the devil. And nor did it matter what God gave him. It also speaks of endurance. No matter what you allow me to go through, I will remain faithful. That was Job. The only thing that matters to Job is, Lord, I trust you. I love you. Therefore, I will serve you. Now, Job loves God with all his heart, with all his mind, and with all his soul. And I thought it was kind of appropriate that that's a song we had today. That wasn't planned, believe me. Not by anybody here. Job could say, I know that I know. Can we? We notice one thing about the quality and level of Job's commitment. He knew that the things he was going through was not because of some sin. Why? Because he had a wonderful relationship with God that has stemmed from great commitment to God. Now, as we know, Job was a very wealthy man. And his wealth, but his wealth did not take up too many minutes of his day. I mean, to have all that cattle, all that property, all that he had, you just don't sit back and let it go. So he was a busy man at times. But no matter what, he had a beautiful and loving relationship, loving family, and his first priority was still God. He had a lot to do, but he knew he could do nothing, absolutely nothing without God. For example, he took time just about every day to sacrifice for his children. Now, a sacrifice isn't just to go out and sacrifice. Even back then, what was sacrifice involved? Quite a bit. Took some time. But he would sacrifice every day for his children, just in case they might have sinned and offended God. That's commitment. And of course, we know how that story ended. He got everything back and more. So we should ask ourselves this, a few questions. At what point does it get too tough for you to endure your commitment to God? Do you have the depth of commitment to succeed? And what are you willing to give up in order to get it? Do you believe there is anything else that stands before God in your life? And you stop and think about that. Would other fruit inspectors agree? What do you project to others? Is your commitment level high enough to say, even though you slay me? Do you love God as commanded, or does it depend on what you receive first? And after examining yourself and looking at the cost, do you want to change your commitment for a better one? You know, God has been given titles over the years, titles of Wonderful, Counselor, Almighty God, Prince of Peace, My Rock, My Fortress, My Deliverer. Remember, these characteristics were given to him by brothers and sisters who went before us. They arrived at these conclusions. How? Through their relationship with God. Their relationship is what brought that. And it established, and they established their trust in God. That's why they would give him those titles. And they were given by men and women, and yes, even children. Because of their experiences in loving and trusting in God. And you and I are no different than they are. And even if we were, it wouldn't make any difference because God isn't any different. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. And His Word will endure forever, which gives something for us to trust in, to trust in His Word. Job could say, even though you slay me, because he knew he could trust God with everything, even his life. What titles has God received from us? Lord of all, or not at all? Commitment, according to Webster, is to entrust, to give charge, to pledge, or to bind. Commitment, according to God, is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and with all of your strength. That is commitment. So the next time you feel like a little hard to commit to God, and this is just a few things we should remember about people in the Bible. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Leah was ugly. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stuttering problem. Gideon was afraid. Samson had long hair and was a womanizer. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Elijah was suicidal. Isaiah preached naked. Jonah ran from God. Naomi was a widow. Job went bankrupt. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacchaeus was too small. Paul was too religious. Timothy had an ulcer. And Lazarus was dead. And don't forget, Jesus helped them all. So now, there's no more excuses. God can use you to fulfill your full potential. Besides, you aren't the message, you're just the messenger. And one more thing, share that with a couple of friends or two. In the circle of God's love, God is waiting to use your full potential. But what does God want? He wants spiritual fruit, not religious nuts. Dear God, I have a problem. It's me. There is no key to happiness. The door is always open. Silence is often misinterpreted, but never misquoted. So you can do the math. Count your blessings. Faith is the ability to not panic. If you worry, you didn't pray. And if you pray, don't worry. As a child of God, prayer is kind of like calling home every day. Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be bent out of shape. The most important thing in your house are the people. So when things get tangled up and our problems, be still. Because God wants to untangle the knots. And a grudge is a very heavy thing to carry. And he who dies with the most toys is still dead. So have a great day. The sun is shining. And he can certainly use you. So be kinder than necessary. For everyone you meet is fighting some kind of a battle. Live simply, love generously, care deeply, speak kindly, and leave the rest to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for your word, Father, and we just pray that it will go to our hearts, Father, and we pray that we would renew our commitment to you and that we would patiently wait for what you have for us, Father. And we pray that we all can say, Lord of all, even though you slay me, I will trust you. And Father, we just want to thank you and praise you. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.